Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Hello, everyone. Good day. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, General Manager of WSCIRO, and I should say good evening. It is June 29th, and we are on a Tuesday evening at 10:35 p.m. And we usually broadcast on the weekend, but we have been doing a Faith Talk Live series called, Faith Talk Live Prayer series called, it's just based on different levels of faith, and we started our series of bootstrap faith and then perseverant faith, and now we are on reckless faith, and I'm telling you, that's where we are right now in the body of Christ. It's a lot of people are coming into the kingdom, and we live in this world and we are not of it. But yet, the ones that are destined to come into the kingdom based on our good example, based on, what the Lord pours into our heart as representatives of the kingdom of God, when signs and wonders follow those who believe, and God does wonderful things in the hearts of those that are destined to come into the kingdom. And I'm going to call my husband here in the studio. He's going to pray for this show so we can be led of the Holy Spirit, because right now I do not know what we are going to talk about, but I do know it's on reckless faith. And we're going to look at some scriptures where when some of the key people, the saints that have gone before us in the New Testament, how they exercise reckless faith. It pulled them right into their destiny. Okay, because they knew of something greater than themselves, and it's usually based on revelation. So I'm going to have my husband come in and pray right now, and he's going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Yeah? Thank you, Lord. Okay, here is Dr. Jeffrey Caniff.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, folks? Hope to hear from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glorious King, mighty in majesty, we praise you and we thank you. We offer you this evening, and we offer you our voices, our tongues, our minds, our hearts, and we just ask you to speak loud and clear words to our ears that are set to hear, to perceive your word, and your eyes that are to see your works. In Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit and fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit to all these listeners, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here's Cheryl.
We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us the opportunity and giving us the time, blessing us with time that you set aside on this side of glory, on the earth side, to proclaim your word from the kingdom of God. And we just thank you, Lord. We're just so honored. And Lord, we are yours. We are yours. And we just want to just say we are yours and just come into our hearts in a greater way and speak to us. Lord, because without your words, our words are nothing. Our words fall on deaf ears. But your words, Lord, penetrate the heart. And we're just going to just you know, say, come into our God, and we are weak, and where we can meet with you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to play some Missy Edwards as we prepare our notes. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye. I mean, why am I saying bye? Just hang on. Okay.
God of every creature. I am the Lord, the fear of me is the beginning of wisdom. I am the God of multiplication and reproduction. I am Jehovah, that is my name. I am the God of the seraphim. I am the God of all flesh. I am the vine. I am the artist that all artisans draw from. I am Adonai Eloheinu, there is none other. I am the God of the cherubim. I am the foundation of the world. I am invisible, yet all creation speaks of me. I am God. I want you to understand and know me. I am, and you are my witnesses. I am glorified in you. I am God who made you a sign to the unbeliever. I am more than all structures of steel, mortar, and clay. I am jealous over you. I am the exalted head over all. I am God who is joined to the foreigner. I am God who speaks face to face. I am the sovereign ruler of all creation. I am your next breath. I am the light of the world. I am God, and all that is in heaven and in earth is mine. I am Emmanuel, God dwelling among men. I am high and lifted up by all creation. I am the outpoured spirit on all flesh. I am he who rejoices with those who rejoice. I am the only creator of all that exists. I am Savior of both the Gentiles and the Jews. I am He before whom every knee will bow.
Well, we are back, and we just wanted to say a God bless you, a big God bless you to our friends on Facebook, and our new fan page on Facebook, the Faith Talk Live Prayer. You have a picture of me and my husband there. We encourage you to become our fan, you know, by hitting the like button, and just type in Faith Talk Live Prayer if you're on Facebook. Or you can just come to me, Dr. Shirley Kenneth, and I'll send you a link. Also, I want to say hi, a big God bless you to our friends and subscribers on youtube.com/WSCIRO. We had fun in the Lord on Sunday. My husband showed me a series of slides that he had taken because he was trying to get to know the Creative Life Camp, and we realized that there was photo capture on there, and I guess he has a feature on the Live Camp where you can take the photos, right, you know, and then they assemble the photos together, and then this music that is played through the through the photo ops and captures. And so what happens is that it becomes like a music video with moving photo images. So I have a different thing going on my laptop, but I have the same thing, the same program through Creative. So I got creative with the Creative Live Cam. And I saw that, you know, where I could take my own picture, but it seemed like as I was taking it, like, I really feel, I didn't know what I was doing, and I know the Holy Spirit was guiding me. All of a sudden, I just started posing, and, you know, I just was moving the mouse, and I was clicking, it was a delay, but it was like, all the images that were taken, what do you call it, the process, just capture. You know, they were captured. I call it taking pictures, but captured by the clicks of the mouse. It was more like, how is this happening? So, it seemed like all the takes were good. I wasn't really trying, you know, I wasn't even trying to pose. It was just, I was just leaning and making funny little faces and doing just these different things. And then I'm looking at the whole thing. I'm like, well, that's not bad. I mean, this is, you know, there's a lot of pizzazz and all that stuff. So then I was thinking about a song that I could actually, you know, get from my playlist. So I put a music video together, and it ended up being an evangelistic tool. So it's being featured on YouTube. So anybody that, it's called The Prophetic, anybody that is on YouTube, it's youtube.com/WSTKAWSCIRO. When you come to that page, it's right there on the feature video. And it looks like, it does look like vanity at first, but it really isn't, because Jesus is glorified from the beginning to the end. And that's all I'm going to say. If looks could minister, those looks have, and it matched the song. And I just got all the glory, you know. And it was like St. Francis said, to his monks, you know, his companions, he said, go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and use words when necessary. If necessary, use words. That's what he said, if necessary, use words. And I didn't use any words. It was like the songs, you know, it was a modern day song, that I had played, you know, I had used to overlay that the new U2 album, No Line on the Horizon, and the song was Get Your Boots, Get On Your Boots. And every time I listened to that song, I was always thinking about, you know, people called to the Lord, the Christian soldiers going before the Lord, spreading the good news and putting on their boots and going into the battle on the front line through intercession, prophetic intercession. So it was just the whole way that the whole song ended up. I just felt led of the Lord to just put it on, and it blessed me, and it was sad to bless another. People were telling me from Australia. Oh, that's cool. We like this. And people that are from other countries. I haven't really heard anything from the United States yet, but people from other countries, the UK, they all love it. So, you know, give me some feedback. I mean, it's one of those things that are, you know, it's one of those forerunner things. I never saw anything like that, you know, the way that, you know, the gospel was being, you know, proclaimed. It was like without words, God, he just put the whole thing together. But it seems like it was another side of me that was probably like hidden. But it wasn't really all about me. It was really all about the Lord. And I don't feel guilty about it because God used all those cakes and I just went for it. You know, the other part of me would have said, oh, no, I can't do this. You know, I'm not a model. I'm not this. I'm not that. But you know what? The Lord says, I accept you as you are. I'm using these. I blessed you. You know, go, you know, he was telling me, go for it. I'm behind this. And so, you know, it really encourages people to get out there and get your boots on, you know. And I usually can be long-winded, and it was such a remarkable thing for me not to say anything. So I think that's the miracle, right? I didn't have to say anything, you know. But when my children were, you know, told me, and they're adults now, when they were little, you know, I got to the point where they just looked at my face and they knew what you know, what not to do. They just knew. It was this knowing that came from the gaze of my maternal face. So I guess God used that and translated that into proclaiming the gospel. So, amen. He can redeem anything, can't he? All right. Wow. So today the topic is going to be reckless faith. Like I said at the beginning of this whole radio broadcast, we started this faith series on Faith Talk Live Prayer with Bootstrap Faith, and we talked about the very rudiments of faith and how the Lord would take our natural faith, because every man has a certain degree of faith that they're born with, you know. And when we receive Jesus and we unite our faith to the Lord, it becomes like the substance. And it says in Hebrews 1:11, I'm just recapping it for people who didn't have the chance to go to Bootstrap Faith and then Persevering Faith, because one topic builds upon another. That's how faith grows. That faith is the substance of things, of the evidence of things, the substance of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So, yeah, and then we talked more about how, you know, when the Lord had given us a visual on, you know, some people call it revelation, others call it a visual, of how faith is like, and it's really like a fishing rod, and, you know, the bait is hope, you know, and, you know, we're based on revelation or other people's recommendations, we go fishing in a certain body of water that, you know, been known because of, you know, a vision or, you know, other people's direct relationship to that body of water that they've been successful in fishing. So you have that knowingness, and, you know, you're launching out into the deep, and you hook that, you know, the hope is that that bait will hook that fish, that the thing that's been revealed in the future, you know. And I was just reading, I attended the Green Tree, Under the Green Tree conference, and it was one thing that stood out when John Paul Jackson talked that I really haven't heard before. And he was talking about how everlasting, the difference between everlasting and eternal life, and how everlasting, life everlasting embraces the present situation, and the present life, you know, and the future. So the present moment and then the future. And it's 10:30 and we are just, our lights are almost out, but we're trying to be faithful to what the Lord's called us to today. We are. We're using reckless faith to do this show. And so, anyways, so bear with us. So we're going to, you know, I just wanted to recap on that and so we can build, you know, so each topic of faith builds upon the other. And the scriptures that we are going to focus in on this particular Faith Talks Live Prayer segment, topic, reckless faith, okay, we're going to be reading from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at the healing of the paralytic, how reckless faith was used in that case, and what you know, where, and we'll, there's going to be specifics within each story, but they all have that similar passion, you know that the Lord had worked in, or compassion that the Lord, passion and compassion, that the Lord had worked through individuals for miracles to happen. You know, it's what they saw in the spirit, the possibility of healing, and a lot of this is based on revelation, but at the same time, reckless faith, there's a different kind of response with reckless faith when reckless faith is being exercised. Many of you out there have situations where the Lord has dreamed a promise in you or even whispered a promise in your spirit, or maybe someone, you know, that was very, very detailed and exact in the prophetic word, giving you, you know, the Lord used them to confirm a promise or to release a promise to you that, you know, was going to be instrumental in bringing you to your destiny in a positive future at that, because all good things come from the Lord, that there is something out there that God has dropped in you that he wants you to possess, okay, and you've held on to this. You've held on to this future promise for your life. And Lord is saying that, you know, you're going to understand more as the show progresses. You're going to understand more about, you know, the significance of holding on and pressing in and basing all your decisions and make, you know, your life decisions on that promise. You know, he does require something of you. There are times where it's going to be reckless faith. You're going to take a leap and you're going to just do something very unusual because of what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you at that time to obtain that which is promised, okay? So, you know, this is the gist of what we are going to be talking about and speaking into your life this evening. I'm going to be talking more about, you know, promise we got in my son Joshua, who's been struggling with autistic symptoms. But I'm going to go more with what he's released in the spirit for me to hold on to. So hopefully you'll be able to identify those areas, you know, that thing that he's given you to hold on. It's the key that he's given you to open that door to the possibilities of a great future, okay, for whatever it is that you are, you know, that the Lord's dreamed in you, you know, for his will to be accomplished in your life. And that's really what it's all about. Okay, so, you know, we're going to look at Jesus heals the paralytic, and then we're going to go into the dead girl and the sick woman with the issue of blood. And then we are going to go to the Syrophoenician woman. The faith. My husband's going to talk about that, okay? But I'm going to go and I'm going to read right now about, because the Lord showed me something about Jesus healing the paralytic and what it took for this healing to happen, okay? A great faith, but it took a certain kind of faith called reckless faith. All right, so Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "All right, get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Okay, now, I don't understand why this is read like this, but I think I need to be in another scripture. But that's good. That's getting us closer to our goal. We're just in that scripture, and I'll have my husband here. The time that they carved a hole in the roof and lowered the man that was on the mat, the paralyzed man. That's where I really need to be, because in another scripture and another account of the same healing, similar healing, I believe it was the same man. The apostles were seen to have taken a roof back then they didn't have roofs like we have in New England. They had thatched roofs, right? And so it was easy for them to take the roof off or to carve some kind of hole big enough just to get that paralytic man through that hole, lower him down. I mean, they were ingenious. They were strategizing, lowering him down, because maybe it was a vision that one of the apostles or one of the disciples had. They lowered him down through that hole, to bring this man to Jesus, okay, so that Jesus could pay attention to him. But I'm sure that Jesus already knew this was happening in the spirit, because he must have seen it, okay, because he not only saw what they were going to do ahead of time, but he actually saw their faith. He saw their faith being exercised, okay, bringing this man, who was paralyzed since birth to be healed, okay. So that's what Jesus honored was their faith. It was their faith met up with his faith, but it was they were reckless. They went out at great lengths, okay, to take that roof off or carve a hole into it and bring that and somehow get this paralytic man that was still on his bed through that hole. I mean, that in itself was a miracle, because we don't know how much the man weighed, okay? So he could have been dead weight. We don't know, but they exercise great faith, all right? And that's what it takes for reckless faith. You have to have great faith. First of all, you have to have a vision, and, Jesus takes notice, through the Holy Spirit, and he begins to act, all right, through the Holy Spirit on the earth side. But in the story, Jesus was there, and in person, okay, and he saw their great faith, and it just pleased him to move in that area of healing, and it caused him to have great compassion. So the Lord has great compassion on those who exercise great faith and go at great lengths, to receive a healing for themselves or for other people, all right? So it's faith that obtains something after you go through great lengths, okay? So there's some work that's required on the part of the believers, to also act and move, okay, to obtain, all right, that which was promised. So, that's just an awesome and I wish I could find that scripture, but that is such an awesome response on behalf of the Lord to our faith, okay? So God is just awesome. Now, Jeff has another scripture to read regarding the Phoenician. You want to read the women with the issue of blood? I think they're pressing in.
On Matthew 9, verse 1, that whole section there, Jesus didn't respond to the individual who was paralyzed. He responded to his friend. His friends who brought him in had believed that Jesus could heal him. And Jesus saw the core reason for his paralysis was the need to be released through forgiveness of some kind of bondage. And so what happened is that, you know, he saw the faith of the friends and he thought, and this is what he responded to the person, and he said, you know, child, your sins are forgiven. And of course, immediately, a religious critic responded and said, this man is blaspheming. And then Jesus picks up on it because he sensed what was in their heart. And he asked them, why are you thinking evil things? Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? And he put the two things together. The forgiveness came first and then the rising and the walking. So he sent the man home, healed, and set free. But he got to the core that some of our healing needs are a need for deep application of the forgiveness of sins. And sometimes you can't walk that one alone. You need to walk in a community of people. Because the Lord says, in two or three, where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. And, the prayer of agreement is a very important prayer. And I wanted to get to the scripture from Mark 7 about the Syrophoenician woman. First of all, she wasn't a Jew. She was a non-Jewish person. There's no substantiation that she was Jewish, but it was clear substantiation that she was a Syrophoenician, someone from Syria-Phoenicia, who was, you know, according to Jewish religious tradition, someone they had to stay separated from. And this woman had the tenacity to approach a Jewish rabbi and ask for the deliverance of her daughter from spiritual stronghold that she needed to be delivered, her daughter needed to be delivered from. But she was tenacious. She was reckless. She threw all protocol out the window because her daughter's life was at stake. And as a mother, she had discerned the problem over time. And then she saw and heard about Jesus. And she said, if he is setting people free from spiritual bondage, maybe he can set my daughter free. And by the time she met up with him, her faith was so strong, she threw all caution to the wind. She approached Jesus, and she petitioned him. And let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke 7. And that starts it. This section of scripture starts in chapter 7, starting at verse 24. From that place, Jesus went off to the district of Tyre, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman, whose daughter had an unclean spirit, heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. And she replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. And then he said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. And she knew what she was dealing with when she came to Jesus. And she heard other testimonies of people who were demonically oppressed. And she saw, probably even witnessed, the people she knew who had come back being freed from these spiritual bondages. And and saying, "Who did this to you? Who did this for you?" And heard the name of Jesus, and then by the time she met up with Jesus, her faith was stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring. And then the opportunity presented itself with this person who was a Gentile woman, presented her need for her daughter, and Jesus did a little testing, and she stayed persistent. She was reckless. She threw all protocol to the wind, and she knew that Jewish people would think it was inappropriate to, you know, for a non-Jewish person to approach a Jewish person, especially rabbis and teachers. But Jesus gave her a little test, and she passed the test because she said, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. So Jesus saw that she had a deep faith, and it wasn't hearsay faith, it was her own deep faith, and she received what she was looking for because she had the tenacity and basically the recklessness to throw out the protocol in this situation and place a demand on what God was doing through the ministry of Jesus. And she was rewarded by going home and discovering her daughter healed of this demonic affliction, and she was restored to health. And it was the mother's faith on behalf of the daughter. And
wow. Okay.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for sharing that with me.
Okay.
Well, while Jeff was reading that scripture of the Syrophoenician's account, you know, how the Lord honored her reckless faith, okay? And I also want to say tenacious. Reckless faith is tenacious faith. It's something that you take hold of something, okay? Something for something. Take hold of something. Then the Lord, you know, honors that. I just found the scripture in the beginning of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, Jesus heals the paralytic, and this is an account of how they put, you know, they have somehow got the paralytic through the roof. Okay, so just picture this in your mind, all right? We're going over this one more time. We have over an hour, so we can do this. A few days later, then Jesus again entered Capernaum, okay? The people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So it was really crowded because Jesus is in town. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, all right? So in this instance, it's saying some men. You know, we would assume that they were disciples or people that believed in Jesus and were somehow following him. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat with the paralyzed man still lying on it. All right, so you got to see this. I mean, it took four men, and that's why I'm convinced that he was probably pretty heavy, because normally it would just take two, right, one end of the mat, the other, but it took four. He must have been pretty heavy. They lifted this heavy man up and put him through the roof.
First of all, they lifted him to the roof.
Yeah.
Then they made the hole through the roof and lowered him into the room where Jesus was.
Right. Exactly. So just picture this. You know, picture this man, you know, this heavy man coming through this roof, through the hole in the roof that they, you know, that they created. All right. So it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, right? Their whole thing was to get through the crowd, and that's another faith walk. It's just getting through crowds of anything, all right? They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, They dug through the roof. That's what they, how did they do that? They dug, somebody must have gotten on top of the roof and just dug through the roof. Lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. He didn't see the men. He saw them. He saw their faith because faith is a substance.
He saw the men who brought the man to Jesus' faith.
Yeah, but he saw their faith in action. Yeah. They saw their faith, because, you know, remember, Jeff, faith is the substance of the things hoped for.
Yeah. They believed Jesus.
Right.
So they were acting on behalf of their friend or Jesus to do something for him.
But Jesus was seeing something.
Yeah,
he saw their faith, but he saw he had a revelation of what the Father wanted to do for this man because of the faith of the four men. On, you know, acting on behalf of this man that needed healing, but he saw the Father, he saw their faith, and he saw what the Father wanted for this man. Okay, you got that, Jeff? Yeah. So there's a lot that was going on. It was probably much more, but this is what the Lord has revealed to us right now as we're reading the scripture. Okay, a lot. They probably. Presence in the Shekinah glory were probably so, the air was probably saturated and thick with the presence, with the tangible presence of the Lord. Because faith is a substance. Yeah? Amen. Okay. Now, some teachers of the law were, okay, so let me get back up here. So he saw their faith. They said this paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit. See, he was discerning. He was seeing something. There was a knowingness. He was in full operation of the gifts of the Spirit, because he was God walking, you know, in his son Jesus. I mean, he was one and same. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, like Jeff spoke before, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Because if the person still had that guilt and that stain of sin on their, etched in their heart, whether it was generational or whether it was individual, okay, he's always going to go back to that. So the Lord had to intervene for salvation purposes, let this man know that his sins are forgiven. And at sometimes that's all, when those lots of times when those shackles, when the Lord undoes those shackles, you're free. Amen. Whatever that you're bound with, leaves, it gets up and leaves, because the word was spoken by the Son of God, Son of Man. It was spoken by Jesus, and in that case, the Holy Spirit operating through ambassadors of Jesus Christ, which is the baptized believer. Okay, so which is easier to say, take up your mat or walk, or if your sins are forgiven? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So that's what the purpose of that. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. But I believe he ran out. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. All right, so that was the case where the Lord honored the tenacious faith of the four men that brought that paralytic down to the roof. And, you know, the other thing, too, was he wanted, you know, the whole thing was to glorify the Father, to glorify God about, you know, the promises that he has for this man and for all of mankind. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, there was another reading that the Lord had given me for this particular topic on reckless faith.
All right. We're going to go back to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Let's see. My husband's going to read about the dead girl and the sick woman, the woman with the issue of blood. All right? And then I'm going to talk more about it. Do you have that scripture, Jeff? Okay, I'm just going to wait till he opens up to Matthew 9, verses 18 through, let's see, 18 through 26 or 22. Okay, here's Dr. Jeff.
Praise the Lord. From Matthew 9, starting at 18. While he was saying these things to them, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. In the meanwhile, a woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. But I need to express that, first of all, if I believe this person was a Jewish woman, she understood the principles of what was considered unclean. And having a flow, an unrestrained flow of blood from any source was considered unclean. And she knew this about herself, but she also kind of threw all the protocol, because she saw signs and wonders happening around her when Jesus was praying with people in front of her before she made the move. He was giving, you know, confirming with other examples of healing, restoration, deliverance, and other things, which just increased her faith. But she threw the protocol of the community she lived in aside and said, "This man named Jesus can heal me, even if I just touch a tassel on his cloak." She didn't want a big hand-waving prayer. She just believed God could heal her through Jesus. And she reached out to touch him. She was transformed, and Jesus recognized her faith and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." Now this woman, if she was Jewish, was not allowed to go into the temple, was not allowed during prayer times anywhere in the synagogues of her local community, because of this issue of blood. And so she was kind of like a semi-outcast because of her sickness. And when she reached out to Jesus and touched Jesus, Jesus recognized her faith and told her that her faith had saved her from this permanent illness. And the next thing that happens, even at the official's house, when Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players in the crowd who were making a commotion, these were professional mourning people, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And the news of this spread throughout the land. Jesus had perceived what God had wanted him to do, and it was regardless of whether this girl was living or deceased. He knew she may be deceased by the time he arrived, but he also had the father's cancer to call her back to life. And this official was tenacious, because if he wasn't a Jew but was a Gentile, then he was kind of throwing all protocol out of the window. His daughter was very sick. And in the meantime, she died. That creates a whole other example. If this man was a Jewish person, the health regulations concerning the clean and unclean and all the requirements to be declared holy again. And so Jesus thought that what had in mind what the Father showed him, and he declared that the girl wasn't dead but sleeping, and the religious critics made fun of him because of that. There'll always be critics. They're just as bad as taxes. They've been around for, like in Jesus' day, what sent Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem was taxes. And in this day, you know, the critics are just as bad in this day, more poisonous and more venomous than ever before. But Jesus saw what the Father was doing and did likewise and brought the girl back to life. And what happened as a result of that healing, his fame spread. And the woman was suffering for 12 years, which tells me that she was out of the synagogue, out of the sake, you know, out of the outside of the worship of the community because of the illness she had. And Jesus set her free, and I think she went back to the priest and got declared holy and healed and was worshiping with hands held high at the temple. And she just kept on going.
You know, when you were talking about the woman healed with the issue of blood, I went to, you know, the Lord wanted me to dig deeper into that Jesus' reaction to the power that was going out from him, because that was, there's a lot more that was going on than just him touching, her touching him. And this is his account in the Gospel of Mark. Okay, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And this is Mark 5, and we're down at verse, for those who are following along, verse 25, okay? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, like Jeff said. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Okay, so she must have had a hospital bills up the yin yang. And she was suffering greatly. Okay, and it was just really, you know, she had the expenses and she was suffering at the same time. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought to herself, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed immediately. Her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And I just wanted to stop right there before I continue. I had a situation where in the 1990s, in the early 1990s, you know, in my earlier walk with the Lord, I really wanted to really, I felt the need that to change. I really had this desire that I didn't want, there were certain things in me that I just really wanted to be healed of, and I wanted to become more holy in my walk with the Lord. I had a strong desire. I would fast. I would attend many prayer meetings. There's nothing I wouldn't do. And it's a little different today because I'm a worshiper. But this is in my days where I was just grasping at straws, okay? I just have to be honest, grasping at straws. And, you know, I did everything but stand on my head. And then I thought, if I could just be around holy people like Mother Teresa, like Pope John Paul II, if I could just be in this space, something from them would come, you know, rub off on me. I was that desperate. I was like, I really want to be around holy people. I desire to be around holy people. I just felt like there was something I was going to gain, and you know, that was, you know, the place that my faith was at. So when I found out that Mother Teresa was coming to the area, I decided I was just going to be where she was at. Even if I don't even say anything to her, I was going to just be there, you know, because whatever she's carrying, whatever is in her being, it's bigger than her, and it's for everybody. It's for the world, you know, and I know it's Jesus, right? And so I had gone, I had, you know, planned that, you know, after I drove my bus, you know, I was going to go into Newton at this particular church that she was going to be at for the morning mass, and this whole thing was televised, okay? And I, you know, I was going to, you know, take that exit 17 into Newton, and I was going to be there. But what happened was, because of her notoriety, exit 17 was closed. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get there? And this is what they were saying on the radio. But as I was driving, it was open. So I'm hearing one thing on the radio, and I'm seeing another. And so I just decided to take exit 17. If I get stopped, I get stopped. My God wants me to get there. I know he does. And so, I ran to her nuns, their Daughters and Sisters of Charity, and you know, I asked them if Mass was still going on. And they said, well, yeah, but we have an overflow. It's outside. And they just started with communion. And I got there on time for the communion. Thank you, Lord. I was a little late, but I got there in time for communion. And I was just hanging around afterwards because it was, you know, I never got inside the church. But then what happened was somehow I got distracted. I was on my way back to my vehicle, and all of a sudden Channel 6, somebody representing Channel 6 from the Rhode Island area comes up to me with a mic, and that was my first debut on television regarding Mother Teresa. Now, one of the things that you don't know is that the Lord has prophesied to me many times to people that I was going to be on television, and I was going to go into. It was going to be at that point it was going to be the beginning where he's going to bring me into media ministry, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be. You know, every time I heard that word, it was more than once. From different people, you know, I knew it was going to happen, but it was just a matter of when. Oh, what, you know, do I need this money? And I don't even have the money to do this, to do what it takes to get to that place. I thought it had to be on my own power and all this other stuff. So, anyway, so that, you know, I kind of like put that in the back of my mind, right, till this time. And that was the marker of what we're doing now. It was the beginning point, and it was just through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so all they said, all they asked me was, all right, so what did you think? Did you meet Mother Teresa? You know, what does Mother Teresa mean to you and all this stuff? And I spoke. I said something. But it was more like I became a commentator for Mother Teresa. I didn't even have any contact, but you know, I talked about how I always wanted to meet her when I was a little girl and everything like that. And so, and I knew that one day I was going to. But, you know, I was thinking at that time, well, I think that, you know, that this wasn't a day because I thought, you know, I would have at least an audience and say hi. And so right after that, God opened up this window. It was so brief and so quick. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit just told me to stand. It was like I went to the back of the building, and they were just closing down, and, you know, everybody was going home, and, you know, it was the Daughters and Sisters of Charity, and it was me and somebody. I was just, you know, standing around just wanting to just, like, well, at least I'm here where it all took place, right? And then all of a sudden, I look to my right, and out comes the cardinal with Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa was, like, 2 or 3 feet from me, and he was kind of hovering over so that, you know, people wouldn't knock her over from the ones that remain. And she was very small. She's shorter than me. She's very small, holy woman. And there was this peace, you know. I can't even explain. It was this peace that just came over the path that she was walking, and it was so tangible. And I wanted that. So I wanted to give her a hug, but the cardinal was bigger than me, and who was standing between me and Mother Teresa. But all of a sudden, I had this handkerchief, right? This handkerchief that I don't normally, I don't even carry handkerchiefs, but I happened to have one. It was a new one. And, you know, and all of a sudden, I was like, she had a flowy sari, Indian sari that she wears. And I was like, oh, Mother Teresa. And all of a sudden, I took my handkerchief, and I'm like, oh, if I could only touch the hem of her garment. And the handkerchief touched her garment. And I just felt that something came from her to me. And I was never the same. You know, there was something that was happening inside of me. And, you know, and I know it was the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, whatever she embraced, you know, in her life, and she was used, you know, to really bless the world, you know, with the ounce, you know, whatever the Lord deposited in her for such a time as this. And then every time I took that handkerchief, there was such substance, the substance of faith that was in operation and everything, the reckless faith, you know, I just wanted something, you know, I just wanted to be near somebody that was very holy and that really God used to change the world and make the world a better place for many people. And so when I received that handkerchief back, I used it like a prayer cloth and pray over people. And people were getting joy and they were getting laughter. They were like, just really, you know, and it smelled so much like oil, and there was an oil that was coming onto it, and it was, when there was no oil, so God just used, I don't even know where I had that handkerchief, somewhere around, somewhere hidden, but anyways, I don't want to use it as an idol, but, you know, it was one of those things that the Lord did for me, you know, I used my tenacious, reckless faith to get, you know, to plug into something, you know, use my faith to plug in to, you know, what the Lord was doing through Mother Teresa, and I'm sure she must have felt power going forth from her, too, because she's called to be like Jesus, like we all are when she was here on this earth. So, you know, I'm going to get into this next part on Mark, all right, we have 43 minutes remaining, so that once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Okay, because he felt that power. It must have felt like electricity. It must have felt like, you know, like lightning, a lightning bolt or something. "You see the people crowded against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" So I must have had like hundreds of people pressing in on him. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Now you got to think about it. Out of all those people, how is it that Jesus is identifying? It's like his reticular system inside knows. He can see the woman in the vision. He can see the woman in his senses, in his revelation, in his spirit. He can see, all right, in his revelatory eyes. He can already see the woman, and at that instance, you know, he knew that the power. You know, there was power that had gone from him because he could feel it flowing out of him to that person that he was seeing. He was seeing her ahead of time. He was seeing her faith in action. And he followed the flow of the power that was following him to that woman, okay, that he was seeing, okay, in his eye of revelation. All right? So, out of all those people. So he says, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, because, you know, she felt the power falling from him to her. So the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Okay? So he released her from her suffering. it was for a reason. She carried that for 12 years because her destiny led her, the destiny in her that was planted in her by the Father since the foundation of the earth was placed in her so that she can meet up with his Son, okay? So that Jesus, you know, can be the Father can be glorified through Jesus, and that her suffering and her ailment, there was, you know, it would be for the greater glory of God, all right? So that was her chance to be freed upon meeting Jesus. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? And knowing what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. So, you know, I really believe that. Now, this is probably a new thing because I had never heard it from anybody else. But I believe at that time that, you know, when people exercise their faith, you know, in the gift, all right, and they see results, their faith continues to grow. And, Jesus was in the form of man. He's the Son of God and Son of Man. While he was walking on this earth, his faith was growing, all right? It was growing leaps and bounds. And, and he was convinced because of the faith of everyone else responding to his faith, okay? And he was convinced that, you know, even through believing that things were being done as he was believing. So, you know, faith grows, faith builds, all right? And that is, you know, what Jesus, you know, how the Lord used, you know, how Jesus was used when he was on the earth walking in the clothes of man, you know? Wow, this is really going somewhere. I'm just getting the sense that, you know, there are people out there that are really desperate and they want to hold on to the hem of God, of Jesus' garment. So just do it, you know, just close your eyes and know that Jesus is there. You have the kingdom within you, you know, just touch the hem of his garment. You know, and his power will be released, okay, into your life. But what I just really, right now, just stand in agreement with what you're doing right now and your people through the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your power being released right now from the throne room, from the hem of your garment, from the throne room. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for that flow of power into their situations and circumstances. Thank you. And to those circumstances where there's a lot of suffering, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch them all, Lord. Whatever it is, touch them all. You know where each one lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is saying that somebody out there with constant high blood pressure, and the Lord's healing somebody of blood pressure, high blood pressure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and this person's on medication, and the Lord started taking that. That's going to be more of a hindrance than anything else. And so the Lord is healing that particular person right now. So he's there. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So I think we are going to go into a song right now. I just get a sense that the Lord wants you to honor you. He wants to come in a greater way. And I am going to come in. Okay, we're going to be playing some John Michael Talbot, and we're going to ask the Lord to pass through your will. In the Holy Ghost.
Shine on my life as on a meadow. Like the grass to be consumed by the rays of the sun. Like the grass to be
We thank you, Lord. We thank you for passing through our wills. We give you permission to pass through our wills. For the Lord is saying that he is willing. When the song was on, the Lord brought me to Matthew 8 regarding the man with leprosy. Okay, it's a short passage, but it's Matthew 8 verses 1 through 5. Okay, and it says when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Okay. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Okay. He came with his reckless faith. It wasn't as dramatic as the others, but he came and knelt before him and said, Lord. And I think it was reckless faith. All right. It was another kind. People that have leprosy in that day, and of course, and even in modern society, because it's brought on by bacteria, you had to pronounce whether you were clean or unclean, because if you were unclean, then nobody could, touch you, because it could spread. So this person with leprosy was really motivated by, reckless faith that it was put in him, all right, to go and take hold of the healing that he knew was for him, okay? It says, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. He had reverence and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, Jesus wasn't supposed to touch him because he was unclean. And because of this wonderful man's faith, the leper's faith, he knew that he wasn't to be touched, but he said, even if you are willing, I can be clean. Okay, you can make me clean. So he knew this. He had this tenacious faith to know this. And Jesus' response to this was, to this man's request was, Jesus reached out his hand, and he did touch the man, because at that point, I believe that Jesus had a revelation about this man being clean. The Father from heaven gave him a revelation about, and he saw this man clean, okay? Because Jesus says he only does what he sees the Father doing. All right, and he only says what he hears the Father saying. All right, so Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man on earth as it was in heaven. I am willing. Okay, he said that he is willing. So at that point, he passed through his will. He connected his will, not just to faith. He connected his will. He says, I am willing. He's willing it, okay? The person with the leprosy, was saying, Lord, if you are willing, all right. So he was asking the Lord if he was willing. He says, I am willing, and because he saw the promise, he is willing. He said, be clean, all right. This is awesome stuff, folks. Awesome stuff. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So apparently, nobody really gets healed of leprosy other than if Jesus touched them. And he had to get approval of the priest to come back so he could offer temple sacrifices. And all lepers actually were put outside the camp. They were put outside the temple because they were unclean. So the Lord Jesus blessing this man by healing him and going back without saying anything, but showing himself, showing the transformation, showing the healing as a testimony of the power of God operating through Jesus. So,
lots of things. The Lord has many things in store for his people who operate in reckless faith. There was just so many other stories. There was the faith of the centurion that my husband wanted to read, but now he's out in the spirit. I believe he's sleeping. My husband's sleeping. But anyways, that's good because the Lord gives his beloved rest, right? And there's nothing wrong with sleeping. It says the faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, okay? And my servant will be healed. Now this faith is just extraordinary because he's saying, just say the word. The other person would say, if you are willing, okay? These are different instances where people are using their reckless faith, you know, to get results. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, he goes, he was so astonished, all right? He was like, oh, my God. He's probably saying, oh. You know, he's probably just really full of joy at the moment. I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come, the east and the west, all right, because he's seeing this, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And the servant was healed at that very hour. How many people right now, just ask yourself, am I in that place of tenacious faith where the Lord is all he has to say is, go, and it will be done as you believed it would, all right? There's so many people out there that are operating unbelief because they may believe in part, but they're not believing all the way. So in the name of Jesus, I want to tie and bind that spirit of unbelief right now in Jesus' name. You have no reason to be around God. Children of God, God's people, anywhere where there's a baptized believer, you just have no place in the life of the baptized believer. And we cast you out in Jesus' name, and we ask for the spirit of belief to come forward, and we thank you and take your rightful position. Thank you in the people of God, and especially the ones that have been struggling. We thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do I have time? I have 22 minutes. I had a unique experience. My 18-year-old daughter, I've spoken on the Blog TV about this on YouTube, where my daughter is now 21, but when she was 5 years old, we were living in an apartment complex, apartment dwelling place, I should say, and the neighborhood was in between. It wasn't that good, and it wasn't that bad, all right? It was in between. And we had some, the landlord had been having a very hard time getting tenants to come in, and so we had these tenants coming in that were not from this country. I'm not sure if they were illegal, but looks like it was pointing to that. But they were when they finally came into the building, they were doing illegal things. And but the Lord had showed me when they were there, because they were from Santo Domingo and they were doing that Santeria, and it when the atmosphere changes and you start hearing strange things. And at that point, the Lord had put me on a task. He said, I'm going to put you in a school of deliverance. And I didn't have to leave my home. And he was showing me different things in the spirit about what was going on.
And one of the things that he did was really warn me, you know, and tell me I need to fast. He's going to show me something about fast I can do. And he said, if I don't, he needs me to be 100% obedient to what he's requesting. He said, because, you know, he wants to protect me and the family, because the degree of Centauri that they're doing, it could destroy their weakest link. I'm to pray and fast for 40 days. This was in 1995, after after my audience with Mother Teresa. And all of a sudden, and the Pope, because the Pope came too. All of a sudden, you know, I'm praying and fasting, and then what, you know, when I said yes, and I had a mentor that I, you know, that he had requested for me to come under, so I did not do this on my own. He was a charismatic healing priest, and the Lord has told me, like, halfway in the fast, he will provide money for me to have a tent revival, you know, and then to call for the worshipers and have a neighborhood tent revival. And that's exactly what I did, because he wanted me to to occupy the territory for him and to claim, you know, that property for the Lord, and to make a statement to the ones that were sending this, that was doing these harmful things, these spiritually harmful things. So, anyways, he wanted to be made known. So I did, and we had the healing service, and the Lord was great. He was just so faithful in moving. And people came and they got healed of things. But that wasn't the end all. Within a couple of weeks after the fast ended, after we had the healing service, it was my son's 15th birthday. And, you know, the my level of faith wasn't as great as it was now. I was always praying that, you know, Lord, you know, I was like really praying tenacious prayers, like, well, I hope you're hearing me. And, but this is what, you know, I was like, you know, I was praying list prayers, and I really wasn't at that place that I'm at today. But it was a little bit better, you know. My prayers are much better and more authentic, I believe, because of this fast. But prior to that, that's where I was. And so so within, you know, weeks after the tent revival, we had a birthday party for my 15-year-old, who's now 29. And we had it at my sister's condo, and they had a pool, and there were other people that lived in that same complex, and they were down at the pool, and it was the hottest day of the year. I had all my children with me, including Joshua, who I was very concerned about being near a pool because he had autism, and I didn't want him to just bolt into the pool. So I had a harness around him, and I felt like I had to explain myself. That's just where I was, you know, why he had a harness, because people would look at me like, why is that, you know, kid have a harness? What's the mother doing to the kid? But I was actually keeping him safe from drowning, from running into the pool and drowning. And unfortunately, what happened at the time was that my 5-year-old daughter drowned. And my brother and my mother, everybody was around her, and somehow she fell into the pool, did not have her a life preserver jacket on, and she didn't know how to swim. She was trying to get a ball, as she was telling us, trying to go after the ball, and she fell into the deep end and came up and was waterlogged and was doing the dead man's float before anybody found her. She just floated right into someone, and that was my brother. And he noticed that she was purple. She had froth coming out of her mouth. Her eyes were open. Her pupils were very constricted. She lost bowel movement. And you know, I didn't know what the commotion was. They were calling. They were saying, "Oh, Naomi, Naomi," and they, you know, brought her to me. And
she was as limp as when she first came out of me when I had the C-section, because I was awake for the C-section. I remember when she was born, and she looked kind of like that. But as I was looking at her when they were bringing her to me, when she drowned, the Holy Spirit said to me, "She's not dead. She's only sleeping." He whispered that in my spirit, so automatically any thought of death was fled. But many people were scared that day because, first of all, the lifeguards missed it. And I knew at this point there was a battle going on in the heavenlies for her life. And I remembered what the Lord had told me at the beginning of the fast. And I just, dropped to my knees, and I was speaking in tongues, and asking the Lord to cover everybody with his precious blood, even the ones that are not believers, and the ones that, at a time of spirit of fear, because I knew the Lord wanted to perform a miracle, and I was just doing the preliminary tying and binding and taking authority. And because I saw how people were being, they were choking themselves, like there was a spirit of Python or the spirit of fear just trying to just, come up around their neck. So I just saw that in the spirit, and then I took authority over the enemy, over her life, and I proclaimed her life as, one of being a child of God, because all my children had given their life to the Lord. We had gone through a life and spirit seminar. They received the Holy Ghost. And so, the Lord was really very faithful with that. And so I just reminded the enemy about her destiny and that, she has a life ahead of her. And this is, he's not going to snuff her life out just like that. And then an angelic visitation that I know was an angelic visitation with the angel on the weird come. Looked very strange, out of the ordinary. It was at the end of the pool, and this time we had scooted over, we had run over to the end of the pool, and everybody kept saying, "Call 911, call Code Blue," because that's what was needed. And the Lord said, "I'm 911." And so that's when I went down to my knees and I prayed in tongues, and then just. First time they played blue, they came and they played blue, said, "Do keep doing what I'm doing." All I was doing was praying in tongues, taking authority. And then I kept saying, "Lord, just breathe your breath of life into Naomi's nostrils like you did Adam." And as this is going on, my daughter is with Jesus, because this is what she explained to us when, a couple of weeks after the event. Especially after I purchased another Jesus portrait. I have a lot of them. I just like to see various people painting Jesus, especially if they've been so inspired to do so in the Holy Spirit. And so when I bought this particular picture, that's when, she had run over to that picture 2 weeks after drowning to say that there was a Jesus that was with her in the water. So then her sister, her older sister was talking to her more about this when I wasn't in the room, and asked her what happened when she was in the water, and she said that she was sitting on Jesus' lap. He gave her a hug, and she felt like warm and fuzzy. Now, she was in the water. She was cold and clammy. And the Lord said that he loves her, and she heard my voice. And she was with him. That's what really perked my faith up. And she said that my mommy's calling me. Can I go home? Can I go now? And the thing is, all I was doing was praying and mentioning her name. I was asking the Lord to breathe this breath of life into Naomi's nostrils like he did Adam. And she only heard the word Naomi. And so what happened was that was, all I needed. That was such, the Lord used Naomi, he took Naomi home to bring Naomi back to me to let me know that my prayers are being heard, in heaven. And I just thought, I just felt like, okay, I'm a prayer warrior. I need to be praying more.
and know that my prayers are being heard. And this is what he wants for many of you people, that many of you people who have children that have special needs. I mean, even with my son Joshua, he said that his hand was on Joshua, and then it, his manifestation of his hand comes out over Joshua during one of the visits. And this is what he wants for many of his people. This is the kinds of things, evidences of faith that he wants to release in many, in all, in the people of God right now. He just wants to give you something that you can hold on to, that can release the kingdom of God upon the earth. So I just thank you, Lord, that you're just right now that going before us, and we are releasing your reckless, tenacious faith in your people. The faith that gets results, the faith that, you know, hears. Did you know that faith can hear, faith can see, okay? And, you know, even though you can hear and you can see, faith can see. It that's why it's a substance. It can, and it can do. And it's just so awesome that, you know, that God, who he loves us so much, that he gives us an element of himself, you know, by faith. It's all by faith, okay? So we just thank you. We just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's somebody that is from Texas, I think, on here. I'm going to just, hello? 1 minute. Hold on. They just left. I was just like just getting into it, and I hope they can call back. But God bless the person from Texas. I think it's at 817 Exchange. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, just bring that person back. We have about 8 minutes left. 8 minutes left on a Faith Talk Live prayer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I hope they call back. And if you are listening, feel free to chat with me. I think maybe I can put this chat room up, or even email me. You can email me on, you know, at here at the station. You know, we will be able to get it. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just come. You know, we just ask you to come in a very special way. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Come in a very special way for your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the deposit of faith that you gave each and every person, Lord, that with that deposit, that they will put their trust in you as they exercise their faith and unite their faith with you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And anybody that's struggling right now, I'm just getting an overwhelming sense that there's a struggle going on. And the Lord is saying, victory is yours. Victory is yours. In his name, it's in his name. It's not in your name, it's his name. His name is the name above every name, okay? That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. And we just thank you. We just thank you, Jesus. That's just the way that it is. That's just the way that it is. And God is so awesome. We serve an awesome God, folks. We serve an awesome God. And I think that we are definitely approaching the end. I just wish that person was calling me back from the 817 area code. But, you know, feel free. We're going to try to, we're going to have another show tomorrow, and I think it's going to be awesome. So call back tomorrow. I will be posting on Twitter what time the show will be, and we'll be talking about undying faith, you know, and it's going to be awesome. The Lord's just given us different things to talk about, and different ways of looking at faith and how, you know, it operates in the life of the everyday believer. And so I'm just going to sign off right now, and we'll sign off for this song, I think, you know what, we need that fire of baptism. All right. I'm going to be playing Misty Edwards, Baptize My Heart with Fire. I love this song. Okay.
everyone. God bless you, and see you tomorrow on Faith Talk Life Prayer, where we talk about undying faith.
Yeah. and I pledge my allegiance to Jesus, to Jesus, and I pledge my allegiance to true love. To Jesus, and I pledge my allegiance to true love, to the Son of David, to the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. When it's all coming down, and when the nations are raging against him, magnificent obsession, and he's the desire of the nation. Could turn it all around in just a matter of time. I'm gonna choose this day to love him, to serve him. I'm gonna choose this day to cling to him and him alone. For I pledge my allegiance to Jesus, to Jesus, and I pledge my allegiance.
WSCIRO, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Boston, Massachusetts.